You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, Ricardo Gonçalves with SBS On The Money, your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Thursday, the 7th of January 2021. Later, a reversal of fortunes of sorts for first home buyers, which are now benefiting from government stimulus and getting into the housing market. But first to the Australian share market, which hit a 3-week high today. Its best one day gain since November the 11th, up 1.6% on the S&P ASX 200 at 6,712. Investors really applauding the incoming Biden administration because of the stimulus he'll provide, and for now ignoring proposed tax hikes. They also ignored those dramatic unrest scenes at Capitol Hill earlier today. So BHP, the best performer, up 6.1%. That's on the back of higher iron ore prices, which continues to surge. Also benefiting Fortescue Metals, up 3.5%. Rio Tinto adding 8.6%. Oil producers also doing well. Santos surging 7.4%. Woodside a 5% gain, and the banks all added at least 2%. The worst performers were the tech players, the likes of Xero down 5%, as some investors made a bit of a switch in terms of assets. For more, I spoke earlier with Kyle Rodder from IG Markets. Kyle, the market had a great day. Why?
Quite simply, US fiscal stimulus. And I suppose over the last sort of 24 hours or so, what the big development really has been for financial markets is that the Democrats have almost certainly taken the last two seats in US Senate, which came as somewhat of a surprise. And that's opened the door wide open now for direct payments to individuals in the United States to go from $600 to $2,000 in a Biden administration. So what we're seeing now is the market pleasantly surprised by what's likely going to be very soon a larger than expected or previously expected fiscal stimulus package. And we're currently seeing all the sort of, I guess, implications of that starting to play out on financial markets now. That's, I suppose, flowed into the ASX 200 too, which has benefited from that sort of, you know, improving growth outlook dynamic.
I guess also that's the short term, but isn't that administration likely to be increasing taxes as well?
It is. So there's sort of a balance of risks that the market's trying to weigh up. But I suppose first and foremost, if you look at sort of the priorities for the market, the most important thing straight off the bat to price in is what's sort of known at the moment, which is that the Democrats have pledged that they will increase this spending. The market more or less, and we've spoken about this before actually, you know, has to discount the implications of that, especially as it relates to inflation expectations. This so-called reflation trade is starting to play out again. That's manifesting most importantly, and this is where the conversation has to start really, in bond markets, a climb in bond yields. So as we see all of that play out, there's this big rotation going on in the markets once again. And because the biggest issue for the market is that stimulus issue, and it's a big increase in stimulus, that's where the market's directed its attention to first, to pricing in. So pricing that in. So there's a lot to be, I suppose, digested in this new administration, but the big one's stimulus, and that's why the markets are moving higher at the moment.
Okay, the other thing too, the iron ore rally continues. What's behind the latest surge?
Again, it's the same thing. I mean, if you look at the commodity complex more broadly, it's very much been given a shot in the arm by this stimulus hopes. I mean, the US dollar has fallen as well, again, because of the change in the stimulus outlook. But, you know, we've obviously got to remember that the US economy is 20-25% of global GDP. When something massive like this stimulus package is announced in the US economy and will have major benefits to the US economy, you know, that ripples around the world and the global growth outlook. So we're seeing iron ore price has been driven by several factors, but at least this week, the really big thing has been that's dropping the US dollar, and then again, that sort of big pickup in growth expectations for the global economy, obviously good for iron ore demand.
Speaking of iron ore, what does this all mean for companies like BHP, which had a phenomenal rally today, and smaller producers? Given they've surged, is there still value there?
Yeah, I mean, there probably is, ultimately. I guess the problem is now is that if you're buying into these stocks or investing in these stocks, you've probably come a little bit late to the party, which is the disappointing thing. So, you know, these stocks tend to be very cyclical, so they go up and down with changes in the business cycle. And of course, the market moves in anticipation of changes in the actual real economy, at least when it comes to areas of the market that are sensitive to commodities. So, you know, there's still a pretty strong rationale with iron ore prices remaining elevated. And if you do remain really, if your view is bullish on iron ore, then these companies should remain fairly solid in terms of their share price. The concern is probably if you're investing in here, a lot of that good news, if you will, has been priced in. So the upside is probably fairly limited. But I mean, the outlook is still, in the short to medium term, still very solid for these companies.
You mentioned earlier that weaker US dollar, but in turn it means the Australian dollar has surged again. Is 80 US a given?
I think it is, and it will rest mostly on the US dollar. Of course, as we've spoken about a lot, the Australian dollar has been a bit of a risk sentiment gauge over the last, say, 12 months or so, at least the beginning of the crisis. But one thing that we have seen over the last few days is that US dollar has hit 2.5-year lows once again. It's trending lower. And with all this fiscal stimulus going into the US economy, as well as a US Federal Reserve, which is, you know, by and far the most powerful central bank on the planet when it comes to being able to devalue its currency, the Australian dollar more or less is a barometer now of market sentiment, which is very, very bullish at the moment, and then what's happening in the US dollar. So because those trends look like they will continue to play out, we've already seen the Aussie above 78 cents, rallying considerably over the last couple of weeks. An Australian dollar at 80 cents at some point in the near future, I think, is pretty much on everyone's radar now.
Kyle Rotter there from IG Markets. And as the markets closed, the Australian dollar was trading at about 77.8 US cents. Now, we had a bit of a reversal of fortunes for first home buyers. The construction of new residential properties continues to grow, albeit at a slower rate, with the national figures from the Bureau of Statistics showing a 2% rise in November. It's been largely driven by approvals for new houses at their highest levels since December 1999, and the surge fueled by low interest rates coupled with government stimulus. For more, here is economist Saul Eslake.
I think it certainly has. The federal government has had a generous scheme of cash grants to first home buyers, as well as other schemes to help them put together a deposit. And on top of that, many state governments, especially Western Australia and South Australia, have also had very generous schemes of cash support to first home buyers. And I think first home buyers themselves are seizing the opportunity provided by these schemes and the absence of competition from both recently arrived migrants and domestic investors who are still wary of the property market, it would seem. And both of those groups, domestic investors and recently arrived migrants, have effectively squeezed first home buyers out of the housing market for most of the last 25 years, which is why at the 2016 census, the most recent we've had, the home ownership rate in Australia was the lowest it had been since the census of 1954, and for people aged 45 or under, the lowest it had been since the census of 1947. So we might actually be seeing, over the next year or so, a reversal in what has been a decline in Australia's home ownership rate going back to the early 70s or late 1960s, one which has been particularly marked since the early 1990s. And that, I think, would be a very good thing if it's sustained.
Economist Saul Eslake there. That is SBS On The Money for this Thursday, the 7th of January 2021. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BusinessRicardo.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.